Are you amazed that we were raised without anybody monitoring our every... Like, I think I was just left in another state.
With a dish of water.
Yes.
And some...
An extra Pampers.
Some meal.
Yeah. No socks. Some meal. Cornmeal. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host...
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So since Katie has indicated that she is ready to jump right in, I'm going to let her kick off.
That's right. I got here.
We went upscale. Yeah. I said what?
Barnyard news.
Awesome. I got some barnyard news too. So barnyard news is a segment we do where we just talk about animals doing stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Animals doing stuff.
Animals doing things.
And this is about caterpillars today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love it.
They take looking like poop to a new level.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And so caterpillars curl up their bodies like a pile of bird droppings. The moth caterpillar rests partially curled on a leaf.
Okay.
And then it uses its coloration and body position to look like a pile of bird
poop. I was going to say, does it change its color? It's like, I'm just going to make in the shape of some crap.
Like, I'm just a turd. That's what I do. That's what I'm walking down this.
Yes. I'm just a turd. It's like, no.
Yeah, because if you're a tasty caterpillar trying to hide from a hungry bird...
You know how I do.
That animals...
Speak.
Their survival lesson is to look like poo. The coloration is not alone the fail-safe disguise.
Do they give off a scent?
No, you have to truly become a pile of poo.
Okay, so this is like an acting exercise.
Yeah. But how did they learn this?
Mask work. They learned it in school, Strasbourg.
Yeah, if they can resemble twigs and rocks and even poo, it's called masquerading.
Okay, masquerading? That sounds very exciting.
Yeah. And it's very common in the animal world. It's a strategy they use. You know, lizards impersonate rocks. Insects parade as sticks.
Parade them? They're making it active.
Spiders pose as poo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do this.
I'm not going to pose. I don't have this because I'm just going to come on as if I'm crap.
It's just the essence.
Yeah, I'm just going to go for what I know. This is my interpretation of it. I don't know why he ate me. I thought what I was doing was legitimate.
Were you really feeling?
I wasn't. That's the problem. I wasn't in that space of crap.
No,
I was thinking about a twig when I did it.
You should not have thought about a twig.
Now I'm missing half my body. These are my last words. That was very silly.
Okay. Yeah, so while the body position didn't affect the number of green caterpillars getting pecked, birds attacked the poop-colored black and white caterpillars almost three times more often if they were elongated than if they were curled
up. So it's not working?
Oh, no, they realized that if they're straight, they will get pecked.
So these
more.
Are the guys who are like, I'm only on day two of the lessons. Yeah. This is all I have. No one mentioned curling up.
I did the coloration.
Yeah. I was feeling it. I thought I was feeling it.
This just...
No, you were giving stick again. Do it again.
I saw a stick. I saw a rock.
Yeah.
I did not see poo.
I did not see poo.
This disguise can be dangerous if the effect is not convincing. See?
Who are they telling?
It's like probably...
Me? Or the caterpillar?
They need the Meryl Streep of caterpillars to be like, look.
There's a caterpillar out there that's 5 weeks old and that is like running the whole game. Like, I've been here since the beginning. Since the season started. I'd like to thank those in the academy.
Drinking a cup of coffee.
Yeah. I don't need your recognition.
Yeah.
I have the work.
Yeah, the bending may allow a caterpillar to maintain the ruse even when it grows larger.
The ruse. I love
it. Average bird poop.
Yeah. Parading, masquerading. It's a ruse.
But grows larger than the average bird poop. So it's like.
It's huge.
It's huge. And so the birds must be like.
Ooh. You know. Yeah. What happened? What are you guys eating around here? This doesn't look right. Let me just get out of here. Someone has some issues. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love how they're like, it doesn't work if this happens. I'm like, they'll figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
Let them do this.
Yeah. Boy, ye have little brains there.
Yes.
They figured it out.
They figured it out. I have some barnyard news as well.
All right.
This came across my like Twitter timeline, and it says a family's happy boating trip in Orange County took a bloody Tarantino-esque. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he got into
all
it.
Right.
Turn for the worst when a 350-pound dolphin jumped onto their boat. So apparently, it was a family hanging out in the, you know, in the OC somewhere, like in the water, you know, off the coast. Dirk and Chrissy Frickman. I don't know. And their two children, Tristan and Courtney Frickman, as well, came upon a pod of dolphins swimming by their boat, peacefully it seemed, and then all hell broke loose.
Oh.
So apparently a dolphin leaped into the air, hit a rail on the boat, and landed in the boat. Dirk Frickman says, it hit my wife and knocked her over and then punched my daughter. I don't think any of that happened.
I don't think so.
I don't think
it sounds like it's a Jason Statham of dolphins, right?
But this is...
of the ocean.
It's so weird because I was just thinking about this. Like, dolphins are so intelligent. It's hard for me to believe that this was some kind of an accident. It was either a dare or he just had enough. Or a joke.
Yeah.
Yo, watch this. Oh, fuck. So it says the dolphin flopped over on Chrissy's legs, Chrissy Frickman, and then Dirk Frickman managed to pull his wife out from under the chaotic scene. He steered the boat towards the harbor. The dolphin is still in the boat at this point, and then they were able to get it out of the... it was kicking and banging and smacking, and then it cut its nose, and then it sprayed blood all over the entire family and the boat. That was the big finale. And then it said later on, the dolphin was released.
This is Animal Uprising.
Yes.
This is James Patterson Zoo.
Yes.
Coming to life for us.
It's just,
us.
It's hard for me to believe. Like, dolphins are so adept at, you know, at jumping, at flipping and things like this. I don't know if this guy was drunk, this dolphin, or if he just was like, that, you know, not that good at it and he wasn't ready yet and he went too early. But yeah, I think this was an attack.
I think this is the beginning of
the dolphin uprising.
It is.
I heard later, earlier in the week, some bees attacked a guy and killed him. Maybe the dolphin and the bees are like, you know what? F it.
Right.
We're done. You know bees are stressed out anyway. We've been reading about how their colonies are stressed out. They've been trying to get away.
They're disappearing. They're all going to meetings and they're trying to... They're coming up with strategies to take over.
But the bees are being forced to produce honey round the clock.
Yeah.
No wonder they're fleeing the colony. Yeah. They're like, colony collapse. It's not collapse. They're leaving.
Yeah. We do animals dirty.
Yeah.
They're coming back.
They're not supposed to be making honey all the time.
No.
And then they don't even get it.
Yeah, right.
I would think twice. Yeah. I would think twice. In any case, that's some barnyard news. Watch out.
Nice.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
All right,
what do you have?
I have advice.
It looks like it's ripped. Was it angry advice?
Yes.
So, advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet, and it's
unqualified.
Yeah. We want to improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice, hence hashtag advice on advice. Ooh. So, who's this advice from?
Dear Amy.
Okay, nice.
My nephew is getting married this summer in California. Most family members on both sides, including me, live on the East Coast.
Okay.
Right.
But they live out there.
Yeah.
And that's probably where they want to make their home, their friends, their life is out there.
Sure, sure.
Right.
We received a notice from him recently saying, your presence is our gift.
A notice, they're calling it now?
Yeah, right.
We can put on legal notice that our presence was required.
You can contribute to our dream home. Your presence is our gift.
You
can contribute to our dream home. So, I'm worried about
that. Yeah.
Their plan is to go to Maui. There's a link to the website, headlined, our registry, inviting everyone to contribute to their choice of airline miles, car rental accommodation, dinner spa treatments, and a sunset dinner cruise.
Is there a wedding at all? Or is it just you can send this on a honeymoon or you could contribute to our house? I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm confused too. I think this is a bit forward. What do you think? So, basically, they're first saying your presence is our gift, but I guess they left out the butt part. You can contribute to the honeymoon.
Or... No?
But your
we need a conjunction. We're confused here.
Yeah. Well, I think that whatever she wrote this in a haphazard manner.
Okay.
Because
that's important. That little word is important. And, but, or, you know.
Yeah, but if you want to, you can contribute to our dream honeymoon.
I don't.
All right. So with all this. Okay, so this person signs it offended in the East.
Offended in the East?
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal on the East Coast, people.
So if you have to fly across country and then, you know, pay for the hotel and for the transportation and meals and all that stuff to be there, the married couple is saying your presence is the gift.
But yes.
If you want to contribute to our honeymoon...
Instead...
Or not and.
Oh.
That's the thing.
I mean, I have to think of it this way. When Greg and I got married, we did the just come to our wedding, mm-hmm. and we made it very clear there's no registry. Mm-hmm. We did not. We were literally like, your presence is the gift.
Yeah.
Now, people gave us a shitload of money anyway, mm-hmm. and that was nice.
Yeah.
But it's like, you don't have to.
Yeah.
A few people gave us some gifts, which was fine.
I gave you a card with money in it.
Yeah. That actually was the best gift that I got.
Yeah.
Like, any gift like that is the best gift because it's, you know, but we didn't ask anyone to do anything. We were hoping people, I mean, unfortunately, you couldn't come.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But all we wanted is for people to come and do the party thing. If you're going to have a registry, have a registry. But this is weird.
Yeah.
You can't do destination. And this is technically destination.
This is
right?
a destination for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then saying, hey, but if you want to give us a present. All right. So the advice is, dear offended, the most forward aspect of this notice from your nephew is the confusing message
yes.
the couple is sending to their wedding guest.
Yes, but he's at a fourth grade level with his writing.
Yeah.
Is what you like. You should send him on a fucking writing course or send him Shrunk and White.
Yeah, right. Like, definitely. When they're actually saying is not your presence is a gift, but we don't want a gravy boat, we want to ride on a boat.
Okay. Okay.
They do want gifts, and they have created a registry to guide guests towards the gifts they want.
So it's like, we don't use our boats for gravy, we vacation on them.
Yeah, we need your gravy to ride a boat.
To ride a boat. Okay. Fine.
Honeymoon registries became increasingly common in part because couples often have their households assembled by the time they get married.
Yeah.
It might help to think about it this way. Would I rather give a couple something I want them to have or something they want to receive?
We write everybody a check.
Yeah.
And then we don't go.
Yeah. Is buying a gift on their honeymoon registry different from buying a gift on a registry from Bed Bath & Beyond? Ew.
Is that how you really feel? Nobody needs anything from Bed Bath & Beyond.
No, you're not.
I'm sorry.
You are not obligated to give a couple a gift from their registry. I almost never do. However, the two times I've contributed to honeymoon registries, I received a wonderful thank you postcard from the couple as they enjoyed their honeymoon their guests helped send them on.
Mm-hmm. We took all the money we got to Jamaica with us.
Yeah.
Which was perfect.
I then felt like a partner on the trip and I was...
Huh? Oh, who gives a...
And I was happy I'd had a small part in financing it. No, I'm
okay.
not.
Here's what I do. For your wedding, you get some C notes.
Yeah.
Depending on how I feel about you and where I am with my finances. For any other, like for the bridal, one person had a bridal shower. I was like, girl, I know you need this Patron.
Yeah.
And that was faint. I don't think that Patron made it out of the bridal shower. So liquor, you know, for something like that. Because mm-hmm. that's the bridal shower. It's, you know, you need that.
Yeah.
And then money for the other things. Unless one person I know had a really, like, clear registry. Mm-hmm. And I guess these are things that they really, really wanted. They had a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So I was like, here. But mm-hmm. most people I know want the money. I mean, they just paid for a fucking expensive wedding.
Yeah.
Chicken or fish. You know, all the pieces of paper and stuff that go along. I didn't do all that stuff.
Yeah,
but it's like, you know, money.
Yeah,
I mean,
just
unless,
give a gift, and give some money, and that's
it. Yeah, if you don't want to go, don't go, don't go. I don't know if people, maybe for older people it's important, but it'll be interesting when we get older, because we won't give a fuck about being mm-hmm. invited to people's weddings.
It just, right.
You know, it's
it
a generational
like this,
thing.
The nephew who wrote the note just is a poor writer.
Yeah, it's a bad writer.
And he was just trying to say, we want you there, sure, your presence is a gift, but
if you can't go, or if you don't want to go, which most people don't.
Yeah. That's okay. But, you know, oh, by the way, here, contribute to our dream honeymoon.
I've only gone to one destination wedding when I was much younger, and it was super cheap,
mm-hmm.
and it was in Mexico. And we were all like, oh, this is good. They picked a place where, well, most people were coming from New York, and at that time, it was really cheap to get a flight
mm-hmm.
from New York to Cancun,
mm-hmm.
and everything else they kind of, like, laid out for you. So, and they let us know, like, a year in advance.
Yeah.
So we had time to be like, okay, this is, you know, our vacation. This is actually going to work out to be cheaper.
Yeah.
And it was fun. Now, they're not like that.
Yeah.
Now I see a lot of destination weddings where I'm like, really? Aruba? Guess what?
Guess what everybody's
C-notes.
Going. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Good. So I have a... I guess I'm back on the barnyard again. I thought this was interesting. This is from the Times of India. It says, India's push to save its cows starves Bangladesh of beef. So
what?
I thought this was really interesting, because in India they don't, it's a sacred animal.
Yes.
This is what I keep hearing. But then I find out in the article that they're selling these things, so they don't want to eat them.
Oh.
But they don't want Bangladesh to eat them either, but they want other people to eat them. So it says, some 30,000 Indian soldiers guarding the border with Bangladesh have a new mandate under the Prime Minister Modi's government to stop cattle from illegally crossing into Bangladesh.
Are you kidding?
So apparently a lot of cattle...
They go wherever they want.
They don't know where the borders are.
They don't know. And you know what? And all animals are allowed to just go wherever they want to.
They can go wherever they want to. So these cows are going to Bangladesh. Bangladesh people are hungry as hell. They're not Hindu. And they want to eat them.
Yeah.
And they do so. It says roughly every other night, Indian troops armed with bamboo sticks and ropes wade through the jute and paddy fields, swim across ponds, and chase cows.
Oh, man.
The guys in the army, they're pissed. They're like, we didn't sign up for this.
Exactly. Cows are huge.
They're cow herders. And these Indian cows are massive. Like, they're really big.
Yeah. Those are...
And they feel good about themselves because of the culture. Yeah. Like, they're just, like, going around doing whatever they want. It looks like someone put an earring on one of them.
Did you just try to hit me with that stick?
Have you heard about Hinduism?
Yeah.
It says here, the Union Home Minister, Raj Singh, traveled this spring to the frontier of Bangladesh, calling on the Border Service Security Force to halt cattle smuggling. So imagine this. You're hungry and you're in Bangladesh, and you are of a culture where meat eating is fine. This cow just wanders on over into your village one day. You ask around, does this belong to anybody?
Wow.
Anybody mind if I eat this? I'm starving.
Wow. I wish like bags of Doritos.
Bags of Doritos. If Dunkin' Donuts eclairs rolled into my neighborhood.
Right.
Unannounced. So basically, the reason why they're doing it, they said they want to stop the people from Bangladesh from eating beef.
Oh, come on.
Why? It's not going to happen. They don't have a problem with it. So they're trying to stop cow from people from, there are people who smuggle cows as well, to which I say, if you're worried about somebody rustling up your cattle, we have a thing called a fence. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
I know, right.
We got cattle
too.
I grew up across the street from a cow farm. They will wander. They don't know.
Yeah.
And they don't care about your road or your sign.
And
or
if they see something that interests them, they'll walk towards it.
Say some grass, which I'm sure they have some of that in Bangladesh. It probably looks greener. You know, who knows? So,
just tired. They're like, look, we know we can't go on with this life here in India.
They're saying it's a part of the anti-beef laws that they're trying to push onto other people. Because there are other people in India who aren't Hindus who want to eat the beef.
Yeah.
And apparently there's an ass load of cows. And according to the people in Bangladesh, the Indian cows taste good.
They taste really good.
They taste better. They're like, we could get cows from other places, but those cows suck. They also said the Indian cows have better hides. I'm sure, because they've been having a good time.
Yeah, they've been living life treated very well. When you are just even, when people have a good attitude towards you, you flourish.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. If, like, with all other variables being constant, if someone is nice to you,
and you're allowed to go about your business.
Not even that.
Oh, people being nice.
You're around people with nice
attitudes. They're not stressed out.
You have a better life.
Yeah. If I had to eat a person, I'd want someone who's zen. You know what I mean? I don't want someone who's, like, in a corporate rat race. I don't want to eat them.
Yeah.
So it says some of the soldiers say they can't understand why they're even having to chase cows. Because some of them they're caught and auctioned off by the army. And then they're smuggled again.
Oh, my God.
It's a catch and release. It's a wild chase, but not the kind a soldier appreciates, says Vivek Tyagi, a commander on the border. What a nightmare. You're signing up to protect whatever. And you ended up having to protect cows that are just going to get smuggled on anyway. Good luck stopping people who are hungry from eating food on legs that's coming at them.
Yeah,
like you're just watching that bag of Doritos, that eclair coming at you.
Yeah.
Good luck.
This is like seamless.
If it makes it over to my mouth, good luck.
Yeah.
Like, you can try and rustle it up if you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I just thought that was interesting.
It is interesting.
Anyway, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Oh. So Tales from Der Campfire is a segment that we do where we find tales on the internet of folklore, fake lore, the paranormal, myth, urban legends.
Yes, or chilling tales.
Chilling tales, even. And we retell them here around the digital campfire. So
gather around.
Yes, get right around, people.
Yes. The author is a middle-aged adult, and it's called And Stay Out.
I like it.
All right. So, in November Thanksgiving of 2004, after being single for a few years, I began dating a man by the name of David.
Okay.
He was very nice.
How about I just dated a man? Whatever. All right.
He was a very nice guy, and we got along very well. We became close very fast. There's a lot of varies going on here.
Yeah. Well, she just doesn't understand how to heighten an adjective any other way.
Yeah. And the kids thought the world of him. It all changed in March of 2005.
Wow. 10 years ago, it all changed.
Things, for some reason, went south for us around the beginning of March. We argued all the time over silly things. It just seemed like everything he did got on my last nerve.
Wow, you disgust me.
And he felt the same about me. We knew it was ridiculous. We both were on the edge.
Okay. On the edge of what?
The edge.
The edge. Like, tomorrow? Of tomorrow?
Just the edge,
okay.
One morning, after a long night of arguing on the phone, I called David up.
Huh?
To go back for more?
Yes. Well, she got tired.
On that phone call, I asked him to come over later that night and retrieve a stack of books he had at my place. And in that visit to do so, I was going to break things off.
Oh, don't people know about book rate shipping? Like, this doesn't have to happen.
I know. But she wanted to get him over there in person and be like,
and then tell
take
him
your books. And then, you know.
And get out. Bitch, you asked me to come over here.
Yeah.
What do you mean, get out?
And stay out.
Yeah.
So, as planned that night, Friday, I came home from work. My mother came to get the kids for the weekend, and I went over.
I got ready to bitch him out. Girl, I put on my finest Ross outfit.
I went over in my head what I was going to say to David. At 7 p.m.
That's the worst, because it never goes the way you want. If you've ever done that before, you're like, I'm going to tell this so-and-so. And then you get there, you're like, dude, it's over. And he's like, all right, can I get my shit? What? No.
I have so much more to tell you.
I have a whole scene. Come back in 10.
At 7 p.m., a knock at the door came, and sure enough, he was there. He had calmed down a bit from the argument the night before.
It was sure enough, it was him. The guy I invited over at that time.
Is there.
Yeah. Gather around.
So he calmed down, but me, not so much. Before I could reach the door to let him in, the knob turned and he came in, which made me even more mad. And I said to him, don't just walk in. He replied.
The door was open?
No, he opened the door and walked in.
But I mean, unlocked.
But he said, you told me to come in.
Okay.
And with that, another small bickering started. I had not told him to come in, but he swore I had.
Now she's off message. Stay on message.
No, but she didn't say anything. Oh. He just, like, he knocked on the door.
And then came
he
on
heard
in.
Somebody, he
say,
said,
come in.
Her say, come in. She never said come in.
Okay.
And she was like, how dare you? You told me to, right?
I like it.
All right. He started gathering the books, and at that time I said
she didn't have them together? She's got to hunt around while this woman's, like, breathing down his neck, running her lines. Great.
And I realized I was being very ugly. Make sure you get everything because you're not coming back.
Wow.
Yeah. As I said that, I walked into the kitchen, which is a good ways from the front door.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I know, I hear a tumbling of books and a short yelp.
Okay.
I came out of the kitchen and looked towards the door, and there was, down the ground, at the bottom of my front steps, with books all around him, was David.
You do that yourself.
He was looking.
You don't remember pushing him down the stairs.
He was looking into the house with eyes as big as quarters.
Mm-hmm. That's not very big. I believe the cliche is saucers.
I know, yeah.
Eyes as big as quarters?
What's, like, your eyes?
What is this guy, a squinter? All the time? What? Okay. Wow.
My eyes got big, too, and I was looking at him thinking, you idiot. He says, why would you push me? I replied I had not pushed him, and I had not. And he said, how did you do that? How did you get back in the kitchen so fast? We were both shocked, and he realized that I had nothing to do with the fact that he was sprawled out on the steps surrounded by books.
Okay.
I helped him gather the books and load them into his car. We were both silent and both knew something had pushed him down the steps.
Okay.
He left and I spent the rest of my weekend pondering the entire situation. David and I are friends today, but he still swears he will never step foot in my house again. Not this one, anyway.
Where do they meet? What happened? Did she do her speech?
Well, they're broken up now.
Okay.
But then she writes a follow-up. Years later.
Did she push another guy down the stairs?
This one's called the shower curtain call.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Curtain call, shower curtain call. Nice.
Okay. And so,
is it theater related? We don't know.
Well, she's from Florida.
Okay. So there you go. You know how they do.
Okay. And so she goes, let me start by saying that this story, in my opinion, is rather embarrassing. I can't believe I'm going to tell it, but you good folks here make it easy to open up about the subject of the paranormal.
Okay.
Please know in typing the story out, my face is beet red.
Okay. Well, now we got that covered.
After my breakup with David, mentioned in the story, and stay out.
Yeah.
We just performed for you.
In a previous episode of My Stories with David.
Yeah.
The episode entitled, And Stay Out.
And Stay Out. In March of 2005, the end of July of that same year, I met someone new.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff, a drummer at my
church.
No,
you didn't. Cliff.
Cliff, and he's a drummer at the church.
Okay.
We hit it off really well, and soon we were dating. One night, we were planning to go to dinner.
Did he know how you did David dirty?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Because this was just a few months later. Because she broke up with David in March, and now is off with Cliff in July.
Wow, she moves fast.
Yeah.
Fast enough to get back in that kitchen and push her brother down.
I had taken a nap earlier in the day and overslept, making me late getting ready. Actually.
Huh? I feel like she's lying.
Actually.
When you say it like that. Yeah. Actually, I wasn't there. You know what I mean?
The sound of Cliff knocking on the door to pick me up woke me up.
Oh, please.
All right. He laughed at my panic and told me.
What's the panic?
Already. Yeah. Ah, you're here.
She comes to the door with a gun loaded. What's going on? Oh, it's just you, Cliff.
Yeah, and he told me, oh, there's no rush. And go do what I needed to do. He made himself comfortable and turned on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up my clothes and laid them on my bed and jumped in the shower. That's when it happened. I'd washed my hair and had my head back, rinsing the shampoo out, when all of a sudden I felt the shower curtain brush my leg. Felt cool air and heard the shower curtain rings as they slid along the metal curtain rod.
Okay. This is the part she tightened up in her writing class.
Yeah, you all know. That's right. She's been taking a workshop. Yeah.
Says David. She's got stories to tell.
You all know that sound and the feel of the curtain opening while in the shower.
No, not unless I'm doing it. I don't.
It startled me, of course. My first thought, and I say thought because I couldn't see for the shampoo in my eyes.
Okay. Yeah, well, this writing class is really giving her something to work with.
Yeah. It really gives you a sense of space.
Yeah. No more sloppy adjective usage. Nothing.
Right,
it's
right.
Tight.
She thought it was Cliff. We had not gotten to the intimate part of the relationship at that point.
Well, you about to, girl.
So I was a little shocked. I quickly washed away the suds and opened my eyes. The curtain was open, but I saw no one. In fact, the bathroom door was still closed. I went back to my showering, and it was even...
No! Okay, this is the part in the movie where it's like, huh?
Yeah.
Finish up. Your shower's over.
Right, right. You're done.
You know, rinse it off. What else is left to do? You washed your hair. Get out of there.
I was even more shocked when I suddenly felt a slight squeeze on my right boob. I cannot believe I just told you that.
That's it? That's the embarrassing part?
Without thinking, I screamed, and in my rush to get out of the shower, I fell with my back landing directly on the water spigot.
Wow.
From no time for slowing down, though. It hurt like mad, but I kept struggling to get out.
So she's just flopping around in the tub. And what's Cliff doing at this part? Watching Law and Order?
Yeah. So now I'm slipping on shampoo, water and blood and the torn curtain down in the process.
This is a hot mess.
Yeah. And she shot out of the bedroom into the hall where Cliff was now standing in response to my screaming.
Okay.
There I was.
That's right, because you know what? If he's a really good guy, he wants to make sure that he can go in there. You know what I mean? Like, if I heard someone struggling in the bathroom, it's like, what happened? You cut yourself shaving?
Yeah.
Or are you injured?
Yeah.
You know, am I just going to bust in?
Yeah, right. So he's out there in the hall. And then she ran out there and she says, there I was, naked, wet, and bloody.
Ew.
In spite of it all, I was humiliated.
Because of it all. Oh, here we go. It's the little words that are tripping her up in her narrative.
Yeah. My back was sliced open pretty good and should have
gotten real stitches. Good. Really?
Cliff was startled and asked me what happened. Of course, I wasn't about to tell him what really happened.
Huh? I fell in the shower.
Yeah. I was afraid I would scare him off as if me standing there looking like Sissy Spacek and Carrie wouldn't have.
Was it that bad? Did someone pour pig blood on you?
No. I just told him I fell in the shower.
Legit.
I'm sure he wondered why I ran out, though. He bandaged up my back. We went out to enjoy our date. That was the first time I was physically hurt, but by my own stupidity.
Okay.
I should have tried to stay calm. It was time to start looking for a new home.
What? It's the house.
To this very day, that hasn't happened.
So she's still there? Yeah. Did it get past first base? Or what happened?
I don't know.
You're leaving me hanging.
That's it. That's all she
said. Tale from Dirk Handfire. Yeah.
I'm just saying. It was a double header.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. I have something kind of creepy here. I don't even know where to put this in. Is it animal news? Is it robot news? I don't know.
What? Oh, now I'm afraid.
Carnivorous furniture powered by meat.
No.
And not the sweet variety. It says a fly-catching clock, a pest control lampshade, and a mouse-eating table all make for a hungry living room.
No.
It's a cyborg self-sufficient furniture that incorporates carnivorous robots into the design. So you know how a lot of technology likes to use, you know, solar power?
Yeah.
Well, this one apparently uses the digestion of animals.
Oh,
to
get
power.
Out. It needs flesh.
It needs flesh.
It needs flesh to continue.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Feed me. You know, this kind of thing. It doesn't sing, though, probably, which would be awesome. Yeah. So it says, as a part of a conceptual project to rethink how robots could fit into our lives. This is not the way I want.
No,
I don't want them eating my foot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that robot already tried to ingest that woman's hair.
That's right.
You know what? It probably didn't get much out of it, but it learned something.
Yes. It got a taste.
It got a taste, and it wants more. So these robot designers, James Ogre and Jimmy Loiseau, have created a set of autonomous household objects that perform regular function, like a table. I don't know why a table needs energy to hold up my coffee, but that's beyond me. And a clock. But instead of going for solar or renewable energy, they decided on bugs and rodents. So basically the table, so it's like a basic table, it baits a mouse up through one of its oversized legs and it gets it to the center of the table where the mouse then, unsuspecting mouse, then falls through a trap door.
Yeah!
And then falls into a chamber full of microbes which digest it and then use its energy to power the table's electronics. I don't know what the electronics of this table are because most of my tables are just old school analog. Like, it's nothing. I have no idea
what
they're talking about.
This is robots that are mm-hmm. going to get you, basically.
They're
going to
taste. They start off with small animals, but pretty soon they're going to want, you know, those Indian cows.
Yeah.
That's why they're wandering across the border to Bangladesh. It's a plot. Bangladesh is actually just a hungry table.
But also, these can work in our favor as single women.
Yeah, I guess
so. You know
so.
What? If a date goes wrong.
The guy can fall through a trap door on your
table.
And
be ingested.
And you run your DVR off of him forever.
Right.
Finally.
Okay. I'm really actually for this now. So you have to then make sure it has the right taste first, don't you?
I guess. I mean, if your taste was bad in dates, how do you know how your table's going to react? That's what I'm saying. Similarly, a digital clock is powered by a microbial fuel cell, and it collects prey with fly paper. And then there's a lampshade that is modeled after the pitcher plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then it lures flies to it where they fall down and they become fuel. They've also modified a UV fly zapper to retrieve power from the fly corpses it creates. Fast forward 100 years. You think it's a bar. You think it's ladies' night. You flock to it. Next thing you know, you're being digested and
that's
you're powering,
right.
You know, the Terminator or something.
Right. And then even more so, we get into a society where everything is powered by
flesh.
By flesh. And so there's a lottery system now.
Yeah.
And so it's like almost like Hunger Games or something.
I mean, either that or there's just trap doors everywhere.
And that's it.
And when it's your time, you just fall through one.
Right.
And it says, these robot meat eaters are mostly for entertainment.
What?
I don't want to see a mouse ingested. That's not entertaining to me.
No, it's not at all.
And they're saying here, it says some of the projects have power bars on them. So you can see how much energy. So if the mouse is like half eaten, you get two power bars. When it's fully eaten and the table is fully powered up, you'll be able to see what's going on.
That is ridiculous.
Where
is this again?
This is just like a prototype. These people are putting onto it. And it also says here that this is a quote from their website, augurloiseau.com. We liken this to keeping exotic pets in the home, where live prey is fed to a pet lizard or spider, and consequently the feeding spectacle becomes a point of fascination recorded on a camera. No!
No, no, no.
Hannibal Lecter?
No.
And posted on video sharing websites. It also reflects the current fascination with reality television programs such as Wife Swap and Big Brother.
No, it
How?
Does not.
Do,
no,
do people
doesn't.
Drop through trap doors on Wife Swap?
They don't even have the decency to say, hey, this could be used in rural areas where there is an over-infestation of vermin.
Yeah, they could come to people's apartments and deal with cockroaches.
Third world countries where they can use that vermin
and
then, you know, power their electronics.
Third world? Hell, the subway could be powered by this shit. There's rats aplenty down there.
But they're just strictly going for the entertainment value of this.
I don't find, like...
And that weird, you know, Dr. Evil pitting the cat thing.
I've never found, like, when I've had to feed animals with live prey, and I've only done it, like, once or twice,
mm-hmm.
I don't look. I give them the dignity and the prey the dignity. I don't need to see that.
You don't need to.
Like, if you're going to feed a mouse to, you know, a snake, like, just let him do his thing. You want somebody looking at you while you're eating your sushi? I don't think so. And with that, I'd like to say, people always ask us, where is the Hey You Know It studio? Is there a trap door involved?
There's no trap door. Thankfully.
Yeah.
God, if there were.
What would we do? We'd have no trouble getting guests.
Yeah, oh, right. Yes, our podcast is powered by the guests that come in.
Yes. We feed off of them.
All the ones that don't come back.
Yeah. Remember the ones that always talk about how we feed them, how many snacks we give them? We need to fatten those mofos up.
Oh, that's right.
So we can power the podcast.
That's right.
But we are at Funkadelic Studios, which is
at 209 West 40th Street.
Yeah.
Fifth floor.
Yeah.
It's right in the membrane of Times Square.
Lodged in the membrane of Times Square.
Yes. And so they have rehearsal space, recording space.
Yeah, you can come here, you can record your podcast, your band can work out here. They also do repairs. Mm-hmm. You can store equipment here.
Which is really key, a storage, so you don't have to lug your stuff around, especially in the summer when it's hot.
Yeah, who wants to shut up when it's hot?
Yeah, so check them out at funkadelicstudios.com.
Yeah.
They also have jams.
Yeah, and they have some all-ages jams, they have ladies jams, they have all kinds of things.
Yeah, and so you can meet like-minded people and get your jams on.
And the hours are great, too. They're open late and they're open every day.
Yeah.
Funkadelic.
Hey, before I go jam at Funkadelic Studios, I listen to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta and Katie.
So I have a thing here. Did I already do penis? No. Some hashtag penis news.
Oh my God.
This is the weird thing. You know I love Norway. And apparently I like to talk about penises. So
Norway and penises go together.
It says, and I watched this video, a man running around Norway dressed as a penis shooting glitter at people. Now, it sounds crazy, and I watched the image that they had on their website. The penis looks cute.
Yeah.
It's a full-size penis. Okay. The feet are the balls.
Okay.
And it's running around.
It's human-sized.
It's
man-sized.
It's human-sized. It's a little guy. It's like a little puppet, a man-sized puppet. This guy runs around. He's actually doing good. It says here.
Because when you said full-size penis, I was like, what are you trying to say?
No, this thing is like 7 feet tall.
Okay.
So it's a Norwegian sexual health charity, RFSU, enlisted Philip Von Eck. This is the guy who created this huge penis, to raise awareness about chlamydia and contraception.
All right.
By getting him to run around and spray people with gold confetti, as you do. And it's interesting because it's in Norway. They're showing the videos of unsuspecting people. They have a really good sense of humor about it.
Uh-huh.
But it's actually because apparently 23,000 people get chlamydia every year in Norway because they don't use condoms as often as everyone else.
Okay.
And it's interesting because I think that maybe because they're in a small country, where they, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like when you're on campus, when you're like, well, everyone here is clean. Everyone's doing their thing. So I like this. It is giving people awareness to it. I don't know if people, when they get sprayed by confetti and glitter, if they think they need to practice safe sex or not.
Well,
but
you know
it's an interesting way to start a conversation.
And that, and also, I mean, it's something that's going to stand out to them in their life. Like, I was sprayed with confetti.
By a giant dick.
Yeah. And it's not something you're going to just forget about.
And it says here, at first they thought people would be pissed off, but it said it turns out actually it's the opposite. People wanted to touch the penis.
Oh.
They wanted to take pictures with it. And the penis said that he felt harassed at one point. He couldn't do what he was meant to do because everyone just wanted to pose with him. And so, and watching the video, I think they made the penis too cute.
Oh.
If they made it kind of like a back alley penis, like, a penis that's been around the block.
Well, then that kind of defeats the message. Like, keep it pretty.
But you don't want people posing with it, like, and not getting the message that you need to wrap
it
up.
Well, that's the good message. It's like, hey, if you want to keep everything nice.
Yeah, if you want a healthy penis that shoots glitter instead of chlamydia.
Yeah.
This is what you do.
Yeah.
So that's my penis news.
Oh,
so interesting.
Great.
We would never do. People are upset here if you say penis.
Yeah.
Let alone get sprayed by one on the beach. All right, what do you have?
Oh, I have here. We did advice, didn't we?
Yeah, we could do some more.
More advice.
We're back with more advice, people. Hashtag
more.
Advice on advice.
Oh my gosh. This one is just,
Is it too hot to handle?
No. Okay. Funny. Dear Prudy. This is Dear Prudence.
Okay.
Okay. My husband and I moved to a city a few hours away from my family after we got married.
Congratulations.
Shortly before our first child was born, I bought an internet-enabled video camera to use as a baby monitor.
Okay. What?
Out of guilt that my parents didn't live nearby, I allowed them to access the camera through their phones so they could see their grandchild regularly.
I know where this is. I feel like this is not going to be good.
This turned out to be a huge mistake. Anytime they see something on the camera they don't approve of, they let me know.
Okay, can I pause you for a second? Mm-hmm. Is it just you and me and everyone we know? I don't know anyone who listens to anything their parents say. I stopped listening to my parents like when I was like 14.
Yeah, right.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. With
you. Yeah. And then I'll try to tell you how to raise your kid.
I don't care either.
But they're trying to tell you how to raise your kid. You know they did a crappy job.
Yeah.
You were their kid.
Yeah.
Whatever. All
right. I was endlessly harassed for not putting socks on my son's feet while he was sleeping.
Huh?
For example, the camera has a feature allowing viewers to talk to us through the camera, so my parents randomly start talking to me or to my son when we're in the room.
You need socks. You look like a fool.
If my son is throwing a tantrum, they will come on and say, "Stop that crying."
This kid is probably like, "Are you kidding me?"
I told them that I don't appreciate their interjections and criticism, but it has not stopped.
Okay. Turn it off. You can turn your parents off.
I know.
Literally.
My son is now 2 years old, and we have another baby with another camera in the baby's room.
And
I want to end their monitoring us.
Then turn it off.
The problem is if I change the password and prevent the parents from being able to access the cameras, they will be offended and will cause World War III.
Are you amazed that we were raised without anybody monitoring our every... I think I was just left in another state.
With a dish of water.
Yes.
And some...
An extra Pampers.
Some meal.
Yeah. No socks. Some meal. Cornmeal.
Cornmeal. What's the best way to do it without, while ruffling as few feathers as possible? Signed, living in Big Brother hell. First of all, you brought this hell upon yourself.
Yes, you created your own hell.
You should have sat with that idea just a few more minutes, and you would have anticipated this and not done it.
Man, we don't listen to anybody.
Dear hell, say your parents will start World War III if you cut off their surveillance privileges.
It is surveillance. Why would you want to be using surveillance on your grandchild?
I also picture the grandparents sitting down like, it's 6 o'clock, and they get a bowl of popcorn. Yeah. And they're like, just watching. They're like, can you believe this? Can you believe this shit?
Look at this crap. He's got half a sock on.
He kicked it off. Yeah. Now he's crying for nothing.
Reason at all. Yeah. Shush.
It's like being in the movie theater in Times Square.
Yeah. You're a bum.
Yeah.
Down in front.
Yeah. We know what's going to happen next, right? That's what they're saying to each other. But although you have given your dear leader type access, unlike Kim Jong-un, they can't back their threats up with nuclear weapons.
Are these people, are people's grandparents giving them a lot of money or something like that?
There's got to be something else.
Or these people just don't know how to cut the fucking cord. I left home at 14.
Yeah. Your parents need to be reminded that when they raised you, there was no technology to monitor every breath, fart, or twitch. And this lack of constant scrutiny was probably better for everyone.
Did anyone see the Truman Show? That didn't turn out well.
No.
Like, I was freaked out.
It would be satisfying the next time they start shouting admonishments at you to look straight at the camera, wave goodbye, and toss it into the potty.
Mm-hmm. I have some real interesting places where that camera might be.
Yeah, no kidding.
We had a little bar called Rawhide down in the West Village.
All right, there you go.
Check out these babies.
But you can be polite enough to let them know the experiment has run too long, it's coming to an end, and the password is about to be changed. Then change it immediately. If this results in your parents...
Change it afterwards.
Yeah.
No, before. Sorry, change it before.
After, no.
Yeah.
No, they're saying let them know it's gonna be changed.
Mm, let them log on and be like, what happened? And be like, I don't know. Our kid's very smart. Maybe he just doesn't want to be monitored anymore by ineffective grandparents from far away.
Right. If this results in your parents having a tantrum because they are no longer connected through an electronic umbilical cord, then you won't be able to hear them pounding on the floor.
Okay, here's my question. It is a rare occasion in my world that I get to deny someone something and be like, why aren't these people happy when they do this kind of stuff? I would be happy if people were being this annoying. I was like, you know what? I actually have the power to stop you from being annoying, and I'm going to do it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
In fact, I might want to do something and then take it away.
Yeah.
Just so I have that feeling.
So you just tell them, you know, we thought it would be great, but
you're annoying.
Yeah.
We've known this, you know. Why would you allow people to annoy you from, hundreds of miles away?
Yeah.
This is on you.
If they threaten to boycott your family because their unlimited access has been denied, then that's their choice to disappear completely from their grandchildren's
and
lives.
And fuck off. They're not actually in the child's life right now.
They're just
in your, they're up your ass.
Yeah.
Right?
Often when people have a child, they hear the voices of their own parents in their heads, but this is supposed to be metaphorical.
I didn't hear those when I was a child.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to happen.
No one wants the actual voices of their parents issuing from the speaker in the room.
No shit.
Yeah. I mean, that they thought this was a good idea.
I don't know. What's wrong with people?
These people...
How old are they?
I don't know. These people...
Katie just crossed the whole thing out with a pen. She's like, no.
You know, they knew what their grandparents were like. Or they knew what they were like all along. And then to be like, here you go, here's access.
I don't know.
To think that wasn't
I guess out. Maybe maybe family means nothing to me. Maybe you can't be in my family if you're going to be an annoying piece of shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't understand. Like,
but she feels guilty. This is the thing.
Why? I don't feel
she
that.
She moved away from the family after we got married.
Mm-hmm.
In a city a few hours away.
I mean, this is the thing. I think about this all the time because I'm from an area where you cannot stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are having your kids in a place where you know they cannot stay, then that's how it is. People don't live by their families nowadays. Yeah. It doesn't happen all the time. You move. You get on with your life.
And then you have limited access.
Yes.
You don't have unlimited monitoring.
No. For what? For what reason? Like, yeah. I don't know. It's bizarre.
No,
it just sounds like control. I don't think they give a shit about the kid.
Just like once a week, you could do a Skype thing.
Mm-hmm. Or not.
Yeah.
Or you could do nothing.
Yeah.
Like, those are your options. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Oh, I'm sad for them.
Yeah.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
I have another tale. I know we've done some tales.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Tale from Their Campfire.
It's back. Chock full of tales.
Chock full of tales. This was called Too Close for Comfort.
Uh-oh.
Now, there's some writing issues in this, but I'm going to try to do the best that I can. This was
try not to correct them, because we're purists. We want the real story.
It's from Greece. I had gotten up for a glass of water. I went back to the couch. The living room has a fireplace. We keep it lit almost all day. Naturally, the room is warm. Didn't seem like that at the moment.
Okay.
There was a chill through the room, and then I felt someone had their fingers on my neck.
Ooh.
I felt the hairs on my nape rise up, like someone had been tickling me there.
Nice.
There was a small shiver down my spine, then just to make me travel to the brink of terror. I'm taking a trip to the
ecstasy.
Brink of terror. Of ecstasy. There was a short constriction on my throat, but really powerful, and that emphasis is not mine.
Oh.
I choked. And I was coughing for more than a minute.
Oh, see, this is somebody who's inexperienced.
Yeah, I tried to use it, but it's almost like someone's taunting me. I heard footsteps, and that's when I decided to bring my rabbit into the living room.
What?
Whatever it was, I don't want my pet to be alone. As you can see, I turned to him the rabbit for comfort in many of my stories. So these are like, this is a regular.
The adventures of, what's this guy's name?
This is Night Maiden. She's done six stories.
Night Maiden and the rabbit.
Yeah, Night Maiden and the rabbit.
Okay.
Part 6. I surfed the net on my laptop, and then I felt someone grasp my feet really lightly.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, you got to dig in on those feet.
Right.
Don't romance them. Then it was my upper arm and then my neck again.
Oh.
There was no one there.
Wow.
I might as well have screamed and laughed at the same moment. I'm extremely ticklish. I felt like someone was passing over a really light cloth over my skin.
Sounds nice.
Yeah,
the whole thing sounds nice, except the choking part.
Well, they said, these little brushes really creep me out. What do you think it is? And if you do know what it is, how can I get rid of it? What do you think it is? We're going to advice.
Advice? I think it, if it's from the supernatural side,
mm-hmm.
It's just somebody who's into her. And is probably just an experience.
You think it's a shadow person or
a
demon?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
It's probably a ghost.
Okay.
I think.
A friendly ghost or unfriendly ghost? They did grab her throat, but maybe it's just in a rough trade.
Yeah, I think so. That's why I think it's a friendly ghost and is looking to get some action. Doesn't quite know. It's just awkward.
Okay.
And doesn't quite have a game.
So, its game is low.
Yeah.
So, people say, hey, again, it is obvious that you're sensitive. When you feel these touches, quote unquote, tell it, quote unquote, to stop vocally.
Vocally.
And then tell it that you do not like it and stop. Doesn't sound like you're dealing with just one it, probably more than one. Tell it in the name of the Lord to leave you and you do not want it there. It must
go. Why more than one?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, because one's on the, is the foot and shoulder happening simultaneously?
No, she's. It seemed like it was a progression.
Okay.
Another person says, "Hi, Night Maiden." Jesus, this is Belisima, who's written 12 stories and 792 posts.
Oh.
I just finished commenting on My Pet Feels a Presence. That's one of her earlier pieces.
My Pet Feels a Presence.
So I'm going backward here. After reading this story, and keeping in mind that you just said previously that you had your ankles grabbed as you were getting up, it's time to tell the spirit to pass on. You don't want it here. Just be firm. Just and be firm. Matter okay. of fact about it. And tell it instead of asking. But be respectful so okay. you don't anger it. Seems like things are getting too physical. And then the last one is
Think it's not physical enough. I think this is messing around without any like do or don't.
It's
do.
Like four foreplay.
Yeah.
And then Mustang, who's written 5 stories and 749 posts, says, "Hi, Night Maiden. Not sure if this entity is one or two." But then he goes on and he says,
"Why is it multiple entities?" No,
I have had several experiences while sitting at my computer on this site. And I think there's your answer right there.
Yeah.
This is the power of suggestion.
Yeah.
You got freaked out reading all of these stories from yourghoststories.com. And there are thousands of them.
Yeah. Your ghost stories is just a wealth of ghost stories.
Yes, it's a wealth of ghost stories.
And everybody gets freaked out reading them.
Yeah, even though I don't believe in anything, I'm not sure if we're here. If I watch too many horror films, then I think horror shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. If I watch a movie about I should watch a movie about somebody getting their feet rubbed right then.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll feel like that's going to happen.
You will. You were subconsciously drawn into your life.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. For several more minutes.
Yeah, that means when you're ticklish like that, it means your muscles are too tight.
Yeah, you need to chill out.
Yeah.
That rabbit's not doing anything for you.
Yeah. It should better get that other kind of rabbit.
Yes. The other rabbit. We're not talking about the wine opener, people.
Yeah.
We're talking ladies.
Ladies rabbit. Battery operated.
Hashtag.
On the nose.
Rabbit news.
Okay.